I appreciate the foundation that Dennis laid, and that the awesomeness of God. And we're out, the place I want to direct us has no foundation unless we understand how big God is, how awesome He is. We tend to take our relationship with Him for granted if we don't take to heart what Dennis said. But if we stay where Dennis, and Dennis isn't saying this, but I'm saying if we stay where Dennis is, we end up with a distant God. And we have to put the two together. My Facebook feed, I don't know if it's my age or what it is littered with novels of the 50 Shades of Grey genre. And I've been really praying into that. What is the Lord revealing? And part of it is, I think, the war against women. But not too long ago, the cover of one of the novels had the words, it was red, I don't know if it was blood or not, but it was the words etched, carved, "I say, you do." And there's just, it was like a punch in my gut from that. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Many of my children have that kind of relationship with me." And it's a relationship where it's, and I'm not talking about not obeying. That's what that's not where I'm going. But a relationship where we take His words, where He says in John, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And what we hear is, "If you love me, you'll let me control you." And in reality, what He's saying is, if you love me, it's going to show up in how you treat the things that I love. You're going to love what I love. You're going to hate what I hate. If you love me, you will manage yourself in this relationship. Last night, the song, "I'm a lover of your presence," it's where I want to be. It's all I want to be, is a lover of your presence. And when He becomes our big yes, we don't have to expend so much time and effort on the no's. But all of that is useless if you don't realize how big God is. You have to know that. That has to be your foundation of how awesome He is. But know that He wants a relationship with you. And there are things that hinder that. And before I get, that was just kind of for free. It was on my notes, but I wasn't sure if I was going to be sharing it or not. I do want to open with prayer, because this is not going to be a me talking. I'll be talking some, but I'll be zipping it more than normal. And I just want to invite the Holy Spirit's presence here. So, Father, I just thank You for this time. I thank You for the relationship You desire to have for us. And You want us to come into Your presence boldly. You want an intimate relationship with You. And there are things in our lives that are hindering us from doing that. In the garden, Adam's sin didn't keep You from coming to the garden. It made Adam hide. And there are things in us, Father, that keep us hiding from You. There are mindsets, there's patterns that prevent us from seeing You as You are, or seeing ourselves as we are. And this is the time here, Father, we want to surrender those things. Holy Spirit, I invite Your presence here. Would You just fill and permeate this room? Would You speak to each heart individually as we talk to Father, as we ask Him questions, seeking things from Him, seeking answers, and seeking greater intimacy? Would you interpret His words onto our hearts so they land well? I pray, Holy Spirit, as You wash out any of the static that's in our heart and in our mind as we try to focus, that You would just wipe it all away, any cares and concerns, even things that come up that we could put them aside for a moment just to listen to You. Things that are important, we know. Right now, we just lay those aside. Father, we just say, this time is Yours. That Your agenda right here, this now, right now, is what we want to accomplish. And we want that accomplished. And Holy Spirit, will You see that done? I surrender anything I've got written down here, and I give it to You, and You reign. You speak. I want it to be Your words, not my own. And I want it to minister to them so they indeed can minister to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to talk a little bit about repentance. And does repentance evoke in you feelings of condemnation, shame, and guilt? I hope not, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. All of our shame and guilt has been washed away at the cross. I'm not going to deal with your sin. Repentance doesn't deal with your sin. He dealt with it. It's already been dealt with. Repentance deals with the mindset inside of you, in your heart or your mind, that gave that temptation a foothold. Because I don't think sin is the problem. Like I said, it's been dealt with. It's because we've got things going on inside our heart and mind that gives that the enemy an entranceway. Butch likes to describe, it was never really described to anybody like this, but people like this. It's like a pig. You give that pig the smallest little crack in a gate and he'll get through. That's the enemy wants. So we've got to find those cracks. Those cracks where he can get his nose in. And that then we end up yielding our flesh over. Repentance, the word repentance does not mean, this is what I've been told, and I'm learning as an aside, never despise old revelation. I don't despise the journey I've been through, even though I'm a completely different person. So, but I've heard the definition of repentance as you're walking in one direction, and you turn around and go the other direction. That repentance is turning from your sin. Repentance is the Greek word metanoeo. The root word is noeo, and that means to exercise your mind. Repentance really means to change your mind, to change your thinking. It will result in a change of actions. The full biblical definition, what I would understand repentance, is a change of mind which results in a change of actions. Jesus, very early in his ministry, said, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Paul said in Acts, near the end of Acts, that I declared that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. Now, if repentance is just repenting of my sin, and I'm sorry for my sin, it does involve forgiveness and apologizing and confessing. But if that's all it is, what is the fruit of repentance? It's basically not producing anything. It's not producing that. So what is the fruit of the repentance? The fruit of the repentance is my mind and my thinking is changed, and so you're going to see it in my actions. I'm going to bear fruit in keeping with my thinking. I'm not going to stop. I will stop producing, but that's not all I'm going to do. I'm not going to just stop that action. There's another action that's going to flow from me because my mindset has been changed. So from this point forward, when you hear me use the word repentance, that's the definition, that you change your mind, you change your thinking, and that results in a change. We read this book, Culture of Honor, and we both read it. I read it in like 2 days, and he gives various examples. Danny Silk gives various examples in here, and it hit home. I thought, you know, you think you know something, and all of a sudden he hammers it home a little bit more. Okay, yeah, I got that, but he's dealing with confronting a couple, one of their worship leaders who had had an affair with his wife's best friend, and they're going through that process. And he asks the guy, well, what's the problem? And he goes through a series of questions, like, and the guy keeps saying, I had an affair with my wife. Well, didn't you know that? Well, yeah, I knew that was wrong. Well, what's the problem? And finally he said, well, did you repent? He said, well, yeah, well, what did you repent of? He said, I don't know. And he began to show the man that his action wasn't really the problem. And it came down to it that he couldn't really express love. And then he said, I've turned out just like my father. He could never tell anybody he loved them. He could never share his love. And now I can't either. And that was the root of the problem. That was what God wanted to point out. The affair was because of this. And we need, and if we stop with just confessing our sin, we're going to keep sinning over and over and over again. Sometimes let me get a tissue real quick. It's kind of like a bulimic. Doesn't matter how thin a bulimic is. She's going to go through the cycle of gorging and vomiting. And you can tell her over and over again she shouldn't be doing that because she's too thin. And she's going to feel, after she's done, she's gorged, she's vomited. And the moment that she's done with that process, shame and guilt and condemnation, it's not because she has not decided strong enough. It's not she isn't committed enough to change. It's not because she's not fed up enough with this behavior. It's because she's got a lie that she's believing about herself or about something that's causing that cycle. It's something inside of her. So we get to that. Sometimes it's a mindset that's not, sometimes we have mindsets that aren't necessarily sin per se. We get all hung up on whether it's sin or not. I'm going to be I'll be a little transparent here. I believe firmly in transparency. I've been wrestling, and again last night, with I'm prejudiced, not against a certain race, but I'm realizing more and more that I'm prejudiced. And again, it's like I have this idea in my mind that certain people have nothing to offer. That sounds horrible coming out of my mouth. Okay? There is a sinful attitude in that. But what concerns me is that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. And so there's some part of my heart in there that's hanging on to something that's not Jesus. And I want that out. And sometimes your desires, you're just not, you have a desire to be more like him and you see those things. Let's not worry about, let's not get all hung up over sex. Well, that's not really sin. Don't worry about it. But it's not like Jesus deal with the root issue, is what I'm trying to say. And so repentance involves changing your mind. But in order to change your mind, you can see the lie. You reveal the lie, but then you have to have truth to combat it. I liken it to this behavior is like driving a car in the ruts of the road, and you're trying to get out of the ruts. Or a cart, Walmart Milford carts, perfect example. Some of them want to go the direction that they want to go, and it takes so much effort to get that thing to go the way you want it to go. But your thought patterns are like ruts, and it causes the same sin over and over and over again, the same attitude over and over and over again. And so you've combat the lie, you know there's a lie, you know there's a mindset, you get rid of it, and then you replace it with truth. And that's the renewing of your mind. You're not transformed by saying you're sorry over and over again. You're not transformed by lowering yourself and getting yourself low enough. You're not transformed by punishment. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. I have a friend who had been diagnosed with a mental disorder. I'm not really sure what it was, but he's been completely healed. And I asked him about it one day, and he said he just spent every single day declaring out loud the truth that he knew of himself. Every single day. So we're going to go through some exercises here, finding lies and getting truth. But it doesn't end with truth. It doesn't end with receiving the truth. It ends with you meditating on the truth, declaring it out loud, saying it out loud. You might not believe it at first. Let me tell you something. I have for years believed I was a failure. It was not easy for me to combat that because everything around me said that I was, to me. It felt like a lie to declare that I am all that God wants me to be, declare the truth. I can't remember what the truth was. The other day I was, but you want to repeat it until it fits. Until you see your mindset start changing. The other morning I was laying in bed. It's my housework that makes me feel like a failure. Actually, it's anything that's been designated female role for the most part. If I'm completely honest. Cooking, I can cook now. But anyway, and I woke up and I was discouraged about it some, and I was tired of starting over again. I said, I just don't have it in me. And instantly I thought, oh, you do have it in you. It's when you think those old thoughts and that truth is, he says, nah, you got it, that it's starting to fit. You want the truth to fit like a glove, and then your actions will begin to show it. There are several ways we get truth, and then I would recommend, if you have a particular sin or an attitude or a problem you're dealing with, or just know it's not Jesus, all right, God, what's the lie here? Just asking him, and what is the truth? You can find truth in Scripture. When we were here at worship last week, we were singing those songs, and of course, we had just returned from Haiti, and all that in Haiti came, and we're singing a song about you have overcome, and it's like the Scripture verse, I have overcome the world. I don't see it in Haiti, but I have overcome the world, and you're repeating the Scripture over and over and over again. Okay, until it takes root, until that's your answer then. Or another way I've often encouraged people is, if the enemy is speaking into your life, he's a liar. So the opposite of what he's saying is truth. So if the enemy's telling me I'm a failure, the opposite of that is what's truth. And that's what I would begin to speak over me. That's what you can speak into your situation, into your mind. So now I just want you to relax. There's always a certain amount of, when I do these exercises, a certain amount of, I don't want any pressure. I don't know what's going on inside your mind and your heart as we do this. And there's always the pressure in your heart and mind, am I going to hear? And I just want you to relax. We're going to trust God with this process. We're going to see where he's going to take us on this. I don't know how long it's going to last. But one of the things he stressed to me last night is, don't talk too long. You let me do the talking. And I said, all right, fine. And so if it's only 5 more minutes, that's his baby, not mine. And if it takes an hour, that's his baby, not mine. All right? So I want you to just get comfortable. If you want to close your eyes, because I want to disappear. This is not me. This is between you and God. I want you to ask him, Father, what is the most pressing issue in my heart that you want to address today? Some of you may, he may have brought up a sin or an attitude. For some of you, it may be a concern or a worry or something that causes anxiety. For some of you, it may have been something he's been speaking into your heart, but it hasn't quite landed yet. It hasn't quite taken hold. I want you to ask him, Father, what lie am I believing? What mindset, perception, or thinking is off that's at the root of this issue? Most of the time, our lies, our mindsets, are the result of wounds or offenses. Sometimes in childhood, sometimes in adulthood. But usually an offense or a wound or something comes and we end up believing something about ourselves or about life or about God that's not true. But there's somebody usually often responsible for that. So if... While I would echo Dennis's encouragement, exhortation to leave the past in the past, there are times that things happen in our past that cause wounds and our hearts fail to grow from that point. And we live out of that without realizing it. And like Dennis said, we need to deal with those things. So if he's given you a lie or a false perception or something there, I want you to ask him, when did I first come to believe this? Sometimes a memory will come to mind, an event that hurt. Sometimes it'll just be an event that you're like, oh, I don't, it wasn't that big of a deal to me at the time. So if an event came to mind or a situation came to mind and there's a person involved, I would encourage you to forgive that person. I choose to forgive. This person. I release them from blame. And I ask that you bless them, Father. And then I'm going to have you repeat somewhat, but you're going to have to finish it with whatever personal thing you have But I would encourage you to do this somewhat audibly, but under your breath. There is power in the spoken word, I believe, but it doesn't necessarily have to be shouted. I repent of this mindset, this thinking pattern. I refuse to believe this lie any longer. And I forgive myself for being influenced or deceived by this. Father, what is the truth that you want me to know? And then thank him for that truth. Now, all week long, I've had a word going over and over my mind that he wanted, that I felt like I was supposed to do, and I wasn't sure how it's going to work, and he's reminding me to do this now. And there may be some of you who didn't hear, who find it difficult to hear when you're in a listening prayer activity, and it can be very frustrating. Or you feel like when you're talking, you feel like you're just talking to yourself and there's not really anybody there hearing you. You know in your mind that there is, but it doesn't feel like it. So for those of you who got truth and you thanked him for it, I just want you to continue talking with him. Any other questions you want to ask him, keep going and forget about what the rest of us are going to do. Or if you want to join with us, Ken, if you still feel like there's times you can't hear him, we're going to see if there's any blocks in our hearts, our souls, our minds to keep us from hearing from God, that keep us from hearing his voice, keep us from ministering to him. Because sometimes it's a lie. Sometimes there's just this block there. And so I just want you, if particularly if you didn't hear anything, but even if you did, it's okay. You can join us, or you can stay right there in your time with the Lord. Keep talking to him about that issue. See if there's anything else he wants to say. But for those of you who are interested in moving on, just ask, for those of you who are interested in finding out about any blocks, if you're having difficulty hearing, just ask Father God, Father God, show me the wall or barrier that's preventing me from hearing your voice more clearly. And then if he showed you something, a wall, sometimes it could be a wall, could be really come in any picture. This is where these types of exercises get very personal. I'm always blown away by the answers I get. So where you learn you really have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You're going to ask him if it's safe to bring that wall down. You have to feel safe to bring this wall down. So if you feel, ask him if it's safe. Then ask him what tool he wants to give you to take it down. He may give you just a breath. You just got to blow it and it'll go away. He may give you a jackhammer. He may take it away completely, but it may take time. If he's given you a tool, have at it. Until you feel unsafe, if it don't, if you start to feel threatened, you start to feel scared, and the wall's not completely down yet, don't be discouraged. If only one brick comes out, that's progress. If in this, again, in this dialogue with him, if a person comes to mind, forgive that person, release them. All right, I'm going to ask you guys, this is your time now. If, before I open the mic, if you had a wall and it's not completely down, don't be discouraged. Allow him to take it down over time. Keep bringing it back to him. There are some of us who've been so wounded that we take one or two bricks out. We have to learn how he's faithful all over again with those bricks out. And then he can take a few more out. And again, we go through the process of learning he's faithful and he can be trusted with that. And eventually the wall will disappear. For some, it disappears all at once. For some, it takes time. Do not be discouraged. Now, what I want to do is if anybody had anything that God spoke to them that they want to share with the rest of us, the mic is open. Anybody wants to share anything? You want to use the mic? That's fine. You can take it out. There you go. Take it. Let me see something. Make sure it's all on for you. Yep. There we go.
God has called me here today to help every one of us to save our souls. It's real easy. I'm sure.
That's fine. We'll go on to the next activity if nobody wants to share.
Joy.
You're loud enough.
We can hear you.
And you chose to quit rather than to compete for status. To you, performing for status was so odious that you opted out. But the threat of punishment drove you back into compliance. That doesn't seem healthy, does it? And that's been the only way that you have lived from then on with regard to work. But work is your vocation, what you wake up in the morning to do. So, Father, I forgive Mrs. Kennedy for separating us into groups. I forgive my parents for making me enter that painful school environment. I forgive them. They meant well. They didn't mean to hurt me or judge me. I internalize the lie that in order to be approved, I must excel and keep up. So I lived with great pressure. And that's why school, to this day, is so stressful to me. So how do you want me to think about school? And he said, it's an opportunity to be stretched and to grow. I don't measure your value by your performance. I'm not fooled by any of that stuff. I measure by effort, not attainment. My most qualified are my most persevering and resilient, not the gifted. Gifts are for me, but your perseverance is your gift to me. Does that make any sense what he was saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
He's so not impressed with giftedness because he's the one who gave it.
That's right.
But my gift to him is perseverance. I want you to view the work as for me. I want you to remember that I'm not measuring you and giving you grades based on perfection. I'm not a perfectionist. I'm a supporter. I'm here to help you, not judge you. I'm here to encourage and strengthen you, not measure you. I'm here to get my hands dirty and even show you how, step by step, not stand back with my arms crossed. And then that's when you open it up for sharing. Sorry, stop typing.
Oh, you keep it. Then you can finish that whenever you want to. Or if he brings you more. Anybody else? Okay. Sometimes our mindsets are a kind of lens, and then we filter everything through this lens. I filtered for years much of life through the lens that God and men are passive. And that kind of wreaked havoc in certain areas. But it colors what comes in. You know, if you believe that God is angry, that's all you're going to see in the Bible. If you believe that God is punishing you, that the bad things that happen, you're just going to see that. And it's kind of like the whole thing. Some people see the glass half full. Some people see it half empty. Of course, now people are saying it doesn't really matter which. It matters whether it's getting filled up or emptied. That's just a whole other thought. But so we're going to do another exercise to reveal anything that he wants to reveal. And so, again, I want you to close your eyes. I'm disappearing. I'm not here anymore. And you're going to repeat after me. You can do this quietly in your mind if you want to. You don't have to say it out loud. I'll tell you when you have to talk out loud. Holy Spirit, show me the lens that I see life situations and people through. Don't worry if the lens doesn't make sense to you at first. And don't try to think real hard. If Holy Spirit revealed to you a lens that you're viewing certain things through, we're going to repent of that. I repent for filtering relationships through this lens. For viewing others through them. and for making judgments about myself, others, or you that are false. Father, I hand to you every false judgment I've made. Because of wearing these lenses. And I give you every false mindset I have because of it. And I forgive myself for being deceived by wearing them. Now you're going to get your body involved. And again, I want you to say it a little bit out loud, but it can be under your breath. If we're creating a safe place, it doesn't really matter who hears. But anyway, I want you to prophetically take those glasses off. You're going to take them off, and you're going to give them to God. Okay? As you do that, you're going to say, Father, I hand you this color lens. And you're going to give it to him. What do you have in exchange for me? I thank you, Father, for this new lens. I'm going to see things differently from now on. And it's going to be good. Did anybody exchange lenses and get a better way of viewing life they'd like to share with the rest of us? There's the mic. Well, if it's not on, you don't worry about it. Just stand up where you are. Just talk loud enough. Hey, I sound pretty.
Now you might understand. So I was asking God about what I saw through. And I saw through a lens of manipulation that, like, in school, I'm the opposite of you. In school, I was very popular. I was very pretty. I was very everything that, you know, one of those mean girls. But I wasn't really mean. But I was that. And I could get anything I wanted from anybody I wanted anytime. I was every teacher's pet. I could manipulate a teacher into doing, you know, half the period outside. I mean, I could just do that. And I think I asked God how I started thinking that way, that manipulation. And my mother was a master. I love my mother. But she was a master at, we could get things around my dad. We could do anything. You know, we could spend more money if we did it this way, or if we tell him we did this to, you know, make it look good. So manipulation was helping me. And I did it very well. And when I look at that path with my glasses on, it's the way I'm thinking. To me, it's very straight. But mm-hmm. if I take those glasses off, my way is all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me a whole lot longer to get to my destination where I need to go. So I asked for God to give me a new lens. And the new lens he gave me was trust.
Mm.
To trust his way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just about trusting.
Good, good. Anybody else? I always wondered if somebody's saying, just give me, if they wait one more minute, I'll get up. But if they close down, that's good. They're relieved. And I am growing more and more comfortable with silence. I'll just warn you. I would really encourage you to keep this conversation going with him. You see a sin that you keep stumbling against, or an attitude, stop focusing on that. That's been taken care of. Ask him, all right, so what's going on inside me? Where is the enemy getting a foothold here? Because there's something in there that's giving him access. Show it to me. And then just ask the next logical question. So many of us who are good in conversation with people suddenly lose our voice with God, and there's a time for that. But if I could encourage you, he wants to converse with you. And ask him the next question just as if somebody were sitting there counseling you through this. If somebody else were there and talking to you about it, what would you ask them next? Just ask him next. In closing, I have a song we're going to play. Didn't know if we'd have time, but I feel it's a good time. And I want you to just relax, sit back, and commune with the Father. Ask him anything you want to ask him. Some of the questions I had down as suggestions you don't need to follow. How do you see our relationship? How do you see me? Any of the questions, if you started feeling something and I stopped it too soon, go back to that. Pursue it more just whatever. Or if you want to listen to the words of the song, I found as I listened to the words of the song, I wasn't sure if I was going to play it or not, but I found it really spoke to how God sees us when we minister to him.
And I hear heaven's reply as it's singing over you. I hear heaven's reply. He says, do you know how you've caught my eye in the secret place where you chose to die? He's singing over you tonight. He says, do you you looked up to the sky and you said, if you're really there, God, I want to love you. And you saw creation and something in your heart said, I want to be His. And even in the middle of nowhere, when you had to stand alone, still you said, I belong to Him and He belongs to me. And I saw you turn away some of those relationships. And even when your heart broke, you said, I want you more, Lord. I want you more than that. And I saw you denying your flesh. When everything inside of you was screaming, you said, no, I want to show love. And you fought the fight. And even when you cannot see, still you believe. And I say, angels, oh angels, oh angels, look and see, in that dark night of faith, there's still love in me, He says, angels, oh angels, look and see, she said yes, He said yes, and He spins around wildly rejoicing, like a bridegroom who rejoices over a bride. Rejoices above us like a bridegroom. Can you hear the voice of the bridegroom as He sings over you? As He sings over you, rejoicing.
If you've gotten any truths, anything that Father speaks over you to you is truth. Write it down. It doesn't just magically change anything just because it's true. You have to believe it. And you come to believe it, like I said, by meditating on it, repeating it verbally over and over again. And when the enemy comes to you and says the original lie that he always does, no, 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 get lost. This is what God says, and His word is truth. It's your response. You need to do that. Whatever He gave you today won't just magically change anything. That's what renewing your mind is. Now I want to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for anything that you revealed. I thank you for this time. I thank you that we draw closer to you, that you long to take those lies the enemy has placed in our hearts and remove them and replace them with truth. And I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to further revelations of your truth, that you would continue to reveal to us those places in our hearts and our minds that we have listened to the enemy or that we have allowed a wound to cause a lie to take root. But I also ask, Father, that you would take each of those truths that people that you have given each person here, that you would plant them deep in their heart, that you would shield it from the enemy, snatching it away too quickly. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would water it abundantly. And Father, I pray that that seed takes root, that grows and produces fruit. It's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Fruit in keeping with repentance. In the name of Jesus, amen.